Hello again. Thanks so much for listening to today's challenge. We're in Jeremiah 32 today, verses 42 through 44. Jeremiah 32, verses 42 through 44. It says, "For thus says the Lord, just as I have brought all this great disaster upon this people, so I will bring upon them all the good that I promised them. Fields shall be bought in this land of which you are saying it's a desolation without man or beast. It is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Fields shall be bought for money, and deeds shall be signed and sealed and witnessed in the land of Benjamin, in the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, in the cities of the hill country, in the cities of the Shephelah, and in the cities of the Negeb. For I will restore their fortunes, declare the Lord." Now, we know, as we touched on yesterday in our challenge, that this promise is still to be fulfilled in the future. Hasn't been fulfilled yet. Even though Israel's back in the land, these promises that God's talking about here aren't yet, because as we saw yesterday, he's promised to give them a one heart and one way that they'll fear him forever. That's not the case right now. They're back in the land, and that's necessary for the promises of the last days and the prophecies to be fulfilled, for the Antichrist to come into the land, chase them out, step into the temple, which was going to be rebuilt in the future. We don't know the specifics of how, but it's ready to go. But the prophecies about what he's going to do in the future and rebuild all that stuff haven't happened yet the way that the scriptures are talking about. But today's challenge and today's question is this: but why will God do this then? What good will he be repaying Israel for? Actually, when he restores the fortunes of Jerusalem and Judah and Israel, what is he going to be repaying them for? Actually, he's not doing it for them. The scripture is very, very clear that he's going to do it for his own sake. It's all about him. Isaiah chapter 48, verses 9 through 11. God says this: "For my name's sake, I defer my anger. For the sake of my praise, I restrain it for you, that I may not cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, I do it. For how should I, my name, be profaned? My glory I will not give to another." Back in the book of Malachi, God told the nation of Israel the same type of a thing. He said, "I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O Israel, are not destroyed." Folks, the reason why Israel still exists is not because Israel's anything spectacular or anything more better than anybody else, but simply because God chose to reveal himself to them and through them and to glorify himself in the nations and in the world, actually in the universe, because of what he's going to do for the people of Israel and through the people of Israel. You look at their wickedness, it's more than the nations around them, because they had more light, they had more revelation from God. They knew better than some of these other nations around. Yet God has chosen for his own sake to keep them alive and to do his promises, fulfill his promises all the way through to the future because of his name's sake. Remember when they were sinning in the wilderness and God told Moses, "Get out of the way. I'm going to kill them all, start over with you." Moses said, "That wouldn't look good for you, because everybody's heard about how you brought them out of the slavery in Egypt to bring them out here, and then they all died in the wilderness. It would look like you weren't able to finish what you started." God pretty much says to Moses, "You know me pretty good, don't you, Moses?" He does everything for his own glory. Oh, folks, listen to you and me and the promise God's given us. Why are you saved? Why am I saved? Is it because we're impressive or special or we saw things that other people didn't see? No, listen. Paul even says at the end of all this whole section that he deals with in Romans 9, 10, and 11, dealing with the nation of Israel and the church age and how God's not done with Israel, he says in chapter 11, verses 33 through 36, he says, "Oh, the depths of the wisdom and the riches and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments, his paths beyond tracing out. Who has ever known the mind of God, or who's ever been his counselor? Who's ever given to God that God should repay him?" In other words, what does God owe you? "For from him and to him and through him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." Today, thank God for the fact that you get to be a part of what he's doing by his grace. Oh, he's going to do something for the nation of Israel in the future that's going to be for his glory, and it's only by his grace. The reason you and I are even saved is only by his grace. He's done a wonderful thing by giving us salvation, and it's totally because of his goodness. He didn't have to, but he chose to for his purposes and for his glory. And I want you and me to thank him today for your salvation that has been by grace, not by works. It's nothing we've done. He's given it to us as a wonderful gift, and thank him for it. Worship him for it. And by the way, let him do in your life what he wants to do, because he's already proven he's good and he knows what's best. Let him finish what he's doing in this life. The reward is to come. Look forward to sharing some more with you tomorrow. Hope to see you then.